Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's March 24th, 2021. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Indeed, it is. It's also going to be a pleasure. I'll bring him on in just a minute to have our guest today, Todd Mann, my good friend who runs the Magnet Schools of America Association. And we're going to talk about magnet schools equity, and we're going to talk about a different way, talk about equitable access to magnet schools, and also once in magnet school, how are they dealing with equity? And Todd's an expert on all this sort of thing, among other things, with magnet schools. Okay, so we're going to have a nice conversation with him. The reason we're so focused on equity, we're now part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Over at ace-ed.org, you're invited to go over there. Everything we do over there is free. If you want to join with us, please do. We'd love to have your voice. Maybe you can write for our magazine, which you'll see on site, Equity and Access. We really want the educator voice there, and we're doing our best to make that happen. So please check everything out. You'll see all the podcasts. That's where this one will be archived. There's a big icon for podcasts, and you'll see our magazine. Just click through, and you can read the whole magazine, ace-ed.org, American Consortium for Equity in Education. Good morning, Todd Mann.
Good morning, Larry. Nice
How
to
you doing,
hear
buddy?
You.
Thank you.
I'm
good to hear
fine.
Your voice, too.
Great to be back. Great. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Hey, did you get your shots yet? Are you shotted up?
I am all shotted up, as they say.
Good man.
Yes.
You are yes. Now Shod Todd. Shod Todd. I like that.
There okay. You go. There you go. Exactly.
That's good. Are you out in the world now? Is it like 2 weeks since the final shot or whatever?
Well, I got one of the I got one of the J&J shots, Johnson & Johnson. So
wow.
I have four.
Boom.
So one and done, but the waiting period is 4 weeks before it's fully effective. So I have another week and a half left yet. So I went to one of these mass vaccination sites, actually the football stadium where the Ravens play. And
no kidding. Downtown Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. So take it wherever you can get it, So
did they use the same needle for everybody, or did they change that? Were they nice enough
to same needle,
that?
And they actually, for me,
save
they
so
threw
much time.
In tickets on the 50-yard line,
That's
so,
pretty
so,
nice. That's hitting the lottery, man, It's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's good news. Okay, and I hope the Ravens have a good season on top of that. Wait, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Magnet Schools of America, magnet.edu. The equity question always comes up, and I know you guys work hard at this, okay? Be offensive, not defensive on it. But, equitable access, okay? This must come up all the time with your gang. How do they ensure equitable access? And I'll tell you, one of the reasons that brought this up a few weeks ago, I did a show with a school that could be construed as a magnet school, one of the special schools in New York City, okay? And they were saying they have so many, which is good in and of itself, Asian kids, okay, et cetera, but they're really short on African or kids of color, okay? And, you want to try to get a balance in there, and you want good – for obvious reasons, okay? And obviously the kids are all equally intelligent. And just carry that across the nation. How do you do this? Talk about equitable access to magnets. Schools.
Well, Well, absolutely. So there are a couple things to think about that you see. And this is, the New York City schools are a tad different just because, if I'm not mistaken, the selective schools in New York City have been legislated to require testing. For admissions, which is at the state level, which is a little bit different, but I think overall where the equitable access issue comes up for magnet schools is just testing to get in, and where does that make it much more challenging for students of color or underserved or underrepresented kids to be able to access that. It's not just access. It's how are they going to fare testing wise compared to kids who have been coached and prepped and gone through all the things that many kids who are more fortunate have an opportunity to do. And so one of the things that, you hear about a lot is you have to start a lot earlier in underserved and underrepresented areas and really give these kids, starting from an early age, the same kind of coaching and prepping that more advantaged kids get as they approach the high school level. So you can,
I want to ask you a question. You just said you have to start earlier, okay? And this is a cool question. Who has to start earlier, okay? And I know what you mean generically, all right? Is it the do the magnet schools have to get the word out earlier to all the parents, okay, so that every parent knows that this opportunity exists? Or are you saying that the school district needs to start earlier? Who should start earlier? Okay, what are you talking about? Good.
Well, that's a great question, and I think the answer is all of the above. I mean, parents have to be attuned to that. It's, you know, as a parent, you can't just take a look at your child in eighth grade saying, okay, now test to get in. You have to be aware that you need to start earlier. The school district also has to take a look at what's being made, what are the resources being made available to kids in more advantaged parts of the school district versus those who are not advantaged, and how and really going the extra yard or yards to make sure that those resources are made available in a way that can be afforded by those underserved areas, those underrepresented areas. And that's when starting earlier, it's a combined effort. It's the parents, it's the school district, it's all the partners in the local community. It has to be. I mean, I hate to be trite, but it is an effort that's required of the entire village to say that's the only way we're going to get there.
Yeah. Are you finding that that whoever we're talking about, that some people, I'll say in low-income neighborhoods, whatever the case may be, they don't even – do most people understand that the magnet school probably exists for their kid? Do they understand that?
That's a great question, and a lot of that is the onus in this instance is probably on the schools as well as the school district in marketing and creating that awareness. I know a lot of our members do as much awareness building as possible throughout the entire school district because they want kids to apply. You know, most 75% of the magnets admit students through a lottery system, not through testing. So they have a huge stake in building up recruitment and awareness. As we all know, a lot of funding for each school within a district is based on the school's population, the number of students.
Right.
So they want to make sure that they've got a good number of students. They want to get all those butts in the seats, as they say.
So knowing that, okay, as a magnet school educator, as a magnet school principal or teacher or whatever, okay, you get a kid come in there via a lottery, okay, and the magnet school, as you've always said on our show, there are a lot of times they're by subject area, okay, are we just assuming the kid has an interest in that by virtue of the fact they applied? And can a magnet school, which is limited in its capacity, which means it's limited in its faculty numbers, okay, handle every kid as need be with different levels of curriculum, et cetera? It's a tough question.
Well, it is, and I have to check my data, but I think there's a lot of magnets that have a lottery system. There's a waiting list for kids. There is a limit there is a limit as to how many students a magnet school can incorporate. So, you know, that's part of it. The other part, though, is which I think is very cool about this, is that, you know, for themes, magnet schools, as we've said on your show before, they have a lot of different themes. So a student who thinks that they have an interest in environmental science, for example, may say after the first year, geez, this really isn't doing much for me. I'd much rather go to a career academy magnet or something else. And they're able to do that. And that's really the assuming there's one in the district in a subject area of interest for that student.
Yeah, and what makes it a magnet school, just by the designation of the term a magnet school, or that they can pull from the whole district? Is it a population thing or a subject thing, or both?
Well, it's primarily the fact that they can pull from the whole district, as you said. So it doesn't have – they can pull – it doesn't have to be just in the neighborhood, okay, of where those students live, but they can pull from the whole district. There typically has to be able to provide transportation, and here's where that equitable access piece comes in, because there are a lot of students, particularly those in less economic advantaged areas, who can't afford to have their parents drive them to school. So they have to have bus transportation or some other way to make sure that those students can get to school.
Yeah, and I never asked you this before, because I'm thinking, I went to school in Philadelphia school system. Philadelphia was a British colony when I was in school. That's how long ago it was. All right? And the Valley Forge, that was all going on. That was the current events class, Valley Forge.
You don't even show it.
I don't look it. I dye my hair. It's Grecian Formula 16. There's not a problem with that. Okay? And I keep myself svelte, as you know. I keep myself very svelte.
Okay.
All right? So, yeah. So I haven't gained a pound since high school. Unfortunately, I weighed 1,600 pounds in high school. But that's a different story. Okay? All right?
Yeah.
In Philly, there were several of these, but there were vocational schools, Dobbins, Bach, Massbaum, those schools. There was even an agricultural school, big one, called Saul, okay, High School, okay? And they were for, let's just take Saul, they were for kids. This was interesting, the way it evolved. I don't think they were called magnet schools back then, but basically that's what they were. And I'm using Saul as an example, or Central High or Girls High in Philly would be other examples, too. They could pull from the whole district, okay? And what happened was we're talking about equity. There was a reverse thing that happened after I left, when I went to Overbrook. But after I left, Overbrook became, I'm using air quotes here, there were so few white kids there that the white kids decided they didn't want to go to Overbrook anymore. I loved Overbrook, okay? And those kids started to go to Central, Bach, and Saul, okay, the agricultural school, okay? Now, I wanted two things, okay? A, it was the opposite effect of equity. It was doing the exact opposite thing that it wanted to do, okay? And B, would Saul have been a magnet school in those days or now or whatever? Maybe you know it.
So let's take your first question. Is that a magnet school's goal is for racial diversity? In the technical terminology, at least the one used by the Department of Education, is that you're reducing minority group isolation. So basically that means that if it's, I know it's bureaucraties, but basically that means you could have a school that's primarily, the majority of the schools are the students are African Americans, and you haven't achieved the effect that you're looking for. Just as the reverse may be true, so it holds true for whatever you're aiming to reduce, as they say, minority group isolation, or you're furthering racial diversity, however the races may be populating a school. Now, that's for Saul, and that's the agricultural school, correct?
Yeah, Saul's the agricultural high school.
Yeah. So that would be considered a magnet school. It draws. It's a career. In fact, when MSA, Magnet Schools of America, held its annual conference in Chicago, there is a huge agricultural school in the southern portion of the city of Chicago. It's a magnet school, and the primary, there's forestry, they're in their animal husbandry, there's all kinds of things related to harvesting food and the like. Yeah. There was even a career path for
environmental science.
So you know, I think that the old style definition of vocational ed, it doesn't do justice anymore to kids who are saying, you know, there are lots of paths for me as a student and as an adult that I may want to take where career paths are different, but I still want to be able to get a basic education and get that training within the high school academic environment. So I think it's a good thing where we've moved to.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's incredible. We just want to make sure that it's open to everybody, okay, and that everybody takes advantage of everything that's offered and that everybody can take advantage of everything that's offered, okay? And
that's
it's just
exactly
odd the
right.
way – and I'm talking years ago in Philly, okay? But it was just odd the way the idea flipped itself, reflecting, if I may, those times way back in the late 60s, early 70s. Okay, and then I'm sure it's changed back again. It's really, really an interesting phenomenon, and what we do with education is just phenomenal. Okay, so, how do the magnet schools – so let me ask this. So I'm going to use Soligan as an example. As a school in Philadelphia, okay, as in the agricultural high school, could they apply and just say we are a magnet school? Could they just come right out and say that? Is that the definition? That we are a magnet school,
pull
from an entire district.
They have to be able to pull from the entire district. They have to be operated under the same aegis as other schools in the district, meaning under the school board and the like, and they have to be public. So those are three main features of
that's cool.
A magnet school. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really to me it's just amazing. So how do the schools, and you work with them all the time, Todd. Okay, and they must be looking to you for great advice, and you have a lot of friends in the industry, et cetera. How do they communicate? How are they doing communication-wise to the public these days? How to encourage this, to encourage an equitable student body?
Well, part of it is the part of the onus is on us as their representative organization to give them the tools
that they
need to be able to do that. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. So a few months ago, we came out with what we call a magnet blueprint. So that, initially it was aimed at superintendents, and we've expanded it beyond that, so that a superintendent or a school board who are looking at why should I, keep my magnet schools? Why should I, look at a regular school and turn it around as a magnet school? Why should I build new magnet schools? We basically give them a blueprint for everything they need to know about a magnet school. What's the logic model behind a magnet school? How do you shift the culture? How do you get more teacher buy-in as a part of that? What's the rationale? So part of it is like being a tourist in your own city. Is you have to fully understand the benefits of why do you want others to come to your city? You have to start with the local population for them to believe it first before you can communicate it outward. So I think that's what our toolkit does, this blueprint. So we're creating the tools. We're now in the process of just beginning to populate that so that can be used not just by the superintendents and school boards, but by the school districts. Ultimately, let's get the schools buying into that. And the more people who understand that are already doing this, understand the value of what they're doing, then they become your best ambassadors. And your best communicators, and then we just have to make sure that we're giving them the tools to communicate that to the parents and the community at large.
And you said something. I wrote it down as you said it. You said, and a lot of it we've been talking about the obvious stuff, okay, on communicating equity. But let's talk about teacher buy-in. And by teacher buy-in, that means you have to have the right teachers there. Okay, and as you look at teacher recruitment, Todd, into magnet schools, what should they be looking for? And I know, obviously, if you're going to be a performing arts magnet school, you would need people who understand the teaching of drama or voice or whatever the case may be. I get the subject side, but what else are we looking for?
I think that it's a teacher who's also dedicated, who understands the culture you're trying to create, who's very attuned to, and since racial diversity is so key, is who understands the role of diversity in the value of students who grow up in diverse classrooms. What does that mean culturally within the school, and how will that help these students as they become adults? So I think you're learning the value is teachers, a much higher level of teacher training and education. Mm-hmm. And these teachers are passionate about their magnets, about their themes. And it's incredible to me how that's valued. And it's incumbent, as it is in any school, you want to keep working the value proposition, but I think you have to, get that extra bit of buy-in. And I read somewhere, yeah. I need to validate this, that the turnover rate, the attrition rate among teachers in magnet schools is less than in other schools.
It would make
and
sense.
And it's not, I don't think that's because they're paid more. I don't think that's the case.
No.
But
I think it's because the kids are more engaged to begin with, if you want to know the truth. You've got very highly engaged kids in that subject, so to speak, in that school. They feel special because they're a kid that's, engaged in a particular subject there. But that's the way I would look at it. Okay, and that obviously encourages teachers, that gets them all excited and all that sort of stuff, and it's just a lot more fun, to teach the kids that are really, really highly engaged. And it must be disappointing, okay, if you're in a high school of science and kids come over there because they're real interested in science, and a couple of years later they say, nah, this isn't for me, I'm going to go somewhere else. That must be more painful if you're a teacher at a magnet school. Of course, you've lost a kid who had an interest at one point. It's interesting.
Right.
How are we doing?
Yeah.
And you must have this somewhere. And again, you don't have to go look up data, but just off the top of your head, okay, how are we doing getting lower-income kids, kids of color, however you want to phrase it, those kids who need equity the most? How are we doing in magnet schools in this area? What's your grade? Oh, mighty Mr. Man, what's your grade that you would give them on this? How are we doing?
Well, I appreciate that. But I think that there will always be work to do on this area.
Well, good answer. I love that.
Thank you. I mean, and it's true. Rather than giving a grade, I would just like to say that the events of last summer just really caused us as an organization to look inward and say, what do we need to do here? Where are we falling down? How do we reinvigorate ourselves? And we MSA recommitted itself. We went back to our mission and our vision and our whole purpose and said, we need to reinvigorate ourselves and remind ourselves, why we're here, and diversity and belief in the value of that is key. So, that's part of what we do, and if you speak it in enough corners, people will start saying, "Yeah, I get it. This is what we need to be doing." So we will always feel like there's more to be done, and I hope we always feel that
great
way.
Answer.
I hope we never
lay
on our laurels here.
And were you when you said that a minute ago, were you talking about the George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and that sort of stuff incidents?
Yes, exactly.
I want to just mention to you, you're aging, because that wasn't last summer. That was last February. So we're losing time here. That was last February.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And what is interesting about what you said, and these are two, I'm sure, decent people. Obviously, I didn't know them. But I'll just use George Floyd. George Floyd was just an average guy. Okay, just an average guy. And then this horrible incident happened and he was murdered. Okay, look at the legacy of what his unfortunate demise, if I can mean. The man now has, and I don't want anybody to have this happen to them ever again, but his name now means social justice. That's what we think of. Those events caused all of us to look inward. And as I say, he wasn't doing that per se himself. He was just a guy. But it just proves how meaningful somebody's life can be, even by a terrible accident of fate like this. I find it interesting that this gentleman has a legacy that whenever people think of it, they think of social justice. Okay? And,
yeah.
And you know, it just strikes me as something really horrible that he died, but what a legacy. And hopefully we're going to move forward on all of this stuff, you know. It's really something
absolutely.
When you think about it. You know, history, I'm an old history teacher, and history is made up of little events. We look at giant things, but it's really smaller things that start to make a difference. And this is just one of them as we all look inward. The way you said it was just perfect. I hope I'm communicating it and articulating it as well as I want to, okay, because it,
yeah,
to me
very
it's
much
just
so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really an amazing thing. In our history, and hopefully we'll all move forward on this. How are the Magnet schools doing? I guess they're all going to go back over the next couple of weeks, so we hope, or at least through.
Most of them are reporting that they're going back. They did it in stages. They started with the little ones or the ones who needed more help in learning. But over the next few weeks, I think they'll all be back. And everybody's happy, although it's interesting. It's not like learning to get on a bike. You know, we're getting back on a bike for a while. There's a lot of work that these teachers and administrators are having to do to figure out how do we do this. Yeah.
Right. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But you know what?
Yeah.
We get through all this. And as I always remind everybody, Todd, everybody's in the same boat. We all lost this time. Okay, so it's not like some are ahead, some are, but we can really get back and do this together. And if we learn from all this, we're going to be way ahead of the game. Todd Mann, always good to have you here, my friend. Oh, I forgot.
Well, thank you. Always good to be with you, Larry. I really appreciate it.
And before I forget, your conference. I just want to touch on that before we're done. Your conference. That's coming up, right?
Yes. It's coming up. It's going to be the last week of April. We moved it now that we're all virtual. We moved it from the spring break week for everybody. Nobody wanted to be during a spring break. People were fine traveling, but they weren't fine being on another Zoom event.
Yeah.
So we'll be April 27th through April 30th, and we're very excited about it. So thank you for bringing that up.
No problem. If you go to magnet.edu. Okay, you'll get all the information, right? Okay, perfect.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect.
That's a perfect place
for it. It's
going
to be good.
Absolutely.
It's going to be good. Okay, thanks, Todd. This was great.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
thanks,
my friend.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate
Take care
it.
Of yourself.
Great to be back with you.
Okay,
all
talk
right.
to you later.
You too. Take care.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, that is my good friend Todd Mann, Executive Director of the Magnet Schools of America, MSA, magnet.edu. They work hard. They do, and it's a good part of education. So learn more about it, okay? Magnet.edu. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.